This meeting of the Citizens Commission on Elected Salaries is to begin and the time is 6:07 PM.
Roll call. Terry. Ronald.
Present.
Robert. Diane.
Present.
Richard.
Here.
Randy.
Present by telephone.
Sherry.
Here.
So our next topic is discussion of mayor and city council salary and duties. Mayor Strickland has agreed to join us today, but she is running a little behind. At this time, if there's anything else or anything that you guys would like to discuss now while we wait for Mayor Strickland, we can start any conversations now.
Well, I would just think, what are some of the questions we have for the mayor?
I did jot down a couple. From our last meeting, you guys wanted to know the difference between mayor, city manager, and council members, as well as their roles.
Mm-hmm.
How does deputy mayor get assigned? Is that by seniority or is that by rotation? Mayor's perception of her job, and then also how much of mayor's roles are required and what are actually extracurricular that she just took on.
One thing that I'm curious about, given the magnitude of the reductions we made in salaries, I am really kind of surprised we've had zero reaction from the mayor or the council. She seems a little, I guess I'd like to have some understanding of, are they really this passive about that?
Yeah, I think there was general acknowledgement that they had gotten quite high.
Yeah.
Just because they had put in that automatic, 1.5% increase every year, which at the time seemed to make sense, and I understand why they did it, but the way reality played out, it made their salaries considerably higher in proportion to the growth of other salaries. And then, if you look from the 2017 update that we were provided for a council manager, city or salaries are quite high.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know there's a number of reasons for that. I think if you look at the cities that have council managers, most of them are much smaller. Most of the larger cities do tend to have mayor council. It's what we call strong mayor governments.
Seems like ours is kind of a hybrid system, though. It seems like. And she's always present. She's always working.
Yeah, but that's really, I think, something very unique to Maryland.
Right.
So it's not, it's not like a job requirement per se. I mean, all the administrative work, not all, but a good chunk of the administrative work is really done by the city manager, as I understand it, under our system. But no, she definitely gets herself out there, as a big promoter of the city.
But you're saying that that's kind of an elective thing on whose part.
Right. What I'm saying is if you get another mayor and she or he may not do the same thing.
Right.
I was trying to remember the mayors that preceded her. There's Barsma.
I think that's one of the things that I certainly, based on my own experience with mayors, is it varies so dramatically on who's elected and what they, a good mayor, like Mayor Strickland, is someone who gets called upon constantly, and someone who's less skillful is going to not be as much in demand as a regional voice. I do think, I guess my own perception is that in this kind of a city, just the size of the city, in the context of Washington State, makes the job of mayor of Tacoma a more prominent position. She doesn't give her more administrative authority, but it gives her more political clout, I would think.
And for me, it's like she's never off duty.
Well, that was one thing in the survey that everyone said is that it's a 24, even on council, for council members, they're never not council members.
They're always, I'm curious, one question I do have for her is how typical is that for other cities? Do you have everybody's running around?
Speaking
of Mayor Strickland, right?
Hey.
My meeting just would not end. I apologize.
Yeah, that's good.
How are you all?
Good.
Very good.
Fine, thank you. All right.
And we have one commissioner on the phone.
Okay.
Randy Trafford is on the phone.
Hi, Randy.
Good afternoon or evening, Mayor. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Sorry I can't be with you. My wife's grandmother passed away this weekend.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
That's why I'm not with you guys.
Gotcha.
Ninety-two wonderful years. It's not...
Yeah, that's a good
run. That's a good run.
Yeah. That's a good run indeed. Yes.
Yep.
Well, good run. Yeah.
Should introduce ourselves?
Yeah, so where are you on the agenda, and what exactly is it you'd like me to do?
Well, we have some potholes over here.
Okay, well, let me go to my car and get my asphalt and shovel.
Well, no, we want the streets redone. Yeah, yeah,
that's
right. It's filling the potholes crap anymore.
That's right.
That's right. That's
like
right.
Half measures here.
Yeah.
Well, Mayor, I am the chair. My name is Ronald Mall.
Yeah, can we do introductions? I know Diane.
Ronald Mall.
Okay.
I'm Gary Buchanan, the interim HR person.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Mayor. I'm Chantra.
Okay.
I'm Richard Wilkinson. I'm your HR specialist appointee.
Okay.
That we've never met.
I know.
I feel...
That's fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm Sherry Pereira.
Okay. All right. Richard.
We were just discussing some of the different cities and whether or not the same demands or the same type of job titles, job duties were present in their jobs as well as your jobs here in Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
and how that might compare.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a number of questions, Mayor Strickland. Certainly, you know, the prominence of the mayor's office in Tacoma is partly who is the mayor and partly the size of the city,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a council manager city.
Right.
So... I think one thing we were trying to figure out was what are the roles, you know, for the mayor, the council, and then the city manager.
I have notes. I'm not being rude.
Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's my question. So talk to me about what you've learned and where you're coming from and how you arrived at these numbers, mm-hmm. and then I'll try to fill in some blanks because I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. In this form of government, this job, in many ways, is about how much effort you want to put into it. And so my predecessor, for example, was very much about, this is the form of government, I'm the presiding officer, I'm ceremonial. I think given where the city is right now and where it's been for the past 8 years and where we need to go, I think that this job requires far more effort than previous mayors may have put into it. Now, but again, I recognize that every person who holds this job is going to approach it differently. So if you want to be the presiding officer and do those duties and just attend meetings, you can. Or you can be more active. And I think it just depends on your personality, on your skill set, and what interests you, and where you think you want to try to move the city. But we're a different city today than we were even in 2010, even compared to where we were in 2001. And so I think the responsibilities of the job have changed. And I think Tacoma's profile is much higher now than it used to be. So, you know, because this job can be not very demanding if you choose to go that route and just cede everything to staff, or you can be more active and more prominent and try to push some things forward. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that's a non-answer for you, but it really is going to depend on who has the seat.
Right.
In terms of how we ended up where we were before, when we started with this process, I guess it's almost 3 years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you had a really short timeline, and
yeah,
I acknowledge
that.
I so acknowledge that.
That was,
and,
the driving factor.
Yeah, and so what we saw is, particularly with council, well, we saw a couple of things. First
mm-hmm.
of all, there had been that automatic pay raise.
Right, CPI built
at a time period where that probably seemed to make sense,
right.
you know, so they didn't have to keep revisiting it, which
mm-hmm.
is always politically awkward.
Right.
because the inflation, et cetera, changed, what happened is that the city's compensation for council
mm-hmm.
and mayor had gotten much higher than
mm-hmm.
other council manager systems,
mm-hmm.
Cities. And... So I remember that was one thing that was a big point of discussion. The other one was, you know, why it's really is it was significantly different than other council manager types of government. You know, some of the mayor council ones, it was more in line, particularly on the mayor side.
Mm-hmm.
The council, I never quite, the way council members get paid is all over the place. It's really funny.
It is.
And then we all kind of intuitively knew, just living here, that, and knowing some council members and stuff, that a lot of them are extremely active
mm-hmm.
in a bunch of different things.
Right.
And there's, of course, there's all these commissions and committees and blah, 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 blah. But certainly some work harder at it than others, I would
mm-hmm.
say. So that was sort of this sort of mishmash of stuff we kind of took into account. And then since then, we've been looking, trying to get updated data.
Yeah.
Because some of the data we had before was old.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to, we did the survey of what, you know, what actually do you do in your job. One question I have is that similar for like every city? Or is it really?
So I'm looking at some of these mayor salaries.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I would not even consider being mayor in any of these cities that go from Yakima up. For the amount of time and work that I
mm-hmm.
put in.
Hmm.
And also, too, in some of these situations where there's a councilman in form of government, the mayor may not be directly elected. It may be someone that they choose
the
among themselves.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're... So I, what are this? Well, it, you know, the also, I would add, we were pretty aggressive on the reductions.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because we were under a short time frame.
I acknowledge
and
that.
And we always figured we could scooch it up,
mm-hmm.
but we can't. It would be hard to scooch it down.
To dial it back, yeah.
And we also set it so that it all goes into effect, I believe it's 2018.
Mm-hmm. But I also think, too, I mean, this is, I'm going to editorialize here, and
yeah.
I know I'm doing it on the record, but think about the context from which this came about, because it was during the charter review.
Right.
And there was a move during charter review to what? Change the form of government. So I believe that the people who wanted to advance that brought this forward as a companion piece.
Oh, I see.
So I don't know. I mean, and maybe there has been some desire within the city council or within the community to look at these salaries. But I think part of it was really about, I mean, I've not heard a lot of people say, I think you get paid too much. Well, of course, someone says that a lot.
Yeah, right.
Probably not to my face. But I think that, you know, that happens. But I think part of it was that people want, there was a desire to change the form of government. So with that came examining salaries. Because if you're going to go to a full-time council and a strong mayor form of government, then you would have to do this. So I'm not sure, I'm not sure that those two weren't connected to each other, but one made it to the ballot and one didn't. Yeah.
At that particular age, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you remember that, Diane?
Yeah, I remember, and what I also remember, for those, it's a couple of folks here who were here at that first meeting, and we did have some public comment, and I forget her name, but she was, I think, the one that, I think she was on the Charter Review Committee, and I think that it was actually her idea, that was a thing that she championed, and... But I distinctly remember she didn't actually understand what the law was at the time.
Oh, I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
She kept insisting certain things, and I'm like, no, I've actually read it, and that's not what it says.
No. I think that there was an assertion that this was a move to raise people's salaries.
That was the belief, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, and what happens sometimes is that when you hear, sometimes when people hear that message in the community, then they kind of feel a pressure to address that issue. And so, I mean, again, it comes from different places. But I did some research, and I want to... This is something that's interesting to me. So,
you guys slide the phone a little closer to the mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to move this microphone closer to me. Is that better?
This one.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you hear me better? Is that better?
That's a lot better.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. So, I looked around at I have not looked at this chart recently, but I did a comparison of what the Pierce County Council gets paid. And the amount of work that they put in, they make $107,000 a year. And I am pretty sure that the number of hours that they put in does not compare to what a city council puts in here in Tacoma. And then I look for the Seattle City Council and the King County Council, and they have parity in their salaries. Now, granted, Seattle has a strong mayor form of government.
Right.
But those two things were just as interesting to me as the different cities with the form of government. Because I said the Pierce County Council makes $107,000. And I know that historically some of them had full-time jobs because they had enough time to have a full-time job.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not telling you to solve that problem, but I thought that was interesting, given the workload that we have here at City Hall compared to the workload that... how often do you read about them in the paper?
Yeah.
Well,
to me, the style we have adopted is not that meaningful. To me, it's a matter of what is the job demand. It's a matter of how many hours a week are you putting in. And same with the council members.
Yeah.
How much of that is elective time? Some of it is, yeah, you've got to be there, no option, but some of it's elective. I get that. And that's true for them as well, for the council members.
So this is, you can't see this. This is my calendar for this month.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And I actually
That's
talked
beautiful.
To, is it gorgeous? No, but I actually was whining to my staff saying, you have to give me some time to actually do work and think about things because this is my calendar. And actually, here, let me go back to even the week before that. And then I was in China the week before that. And so, and you know, and I don't have the luxury of doing things just for fun because there's an expectation when you represent people that you're going to show up for stuff. And so this weekend, for example, I was at a community garden summit on Saturday morning. And then Saturday evening, I went to the fundraiser for the Chinese Reconciliation Foundation because we, the city, support them. And so I think that even though you may describe some of these things as optional, you go to these events and then you're expected to write a check to the organization. And so I just think that, you know, there's sometimes more to this than you think. And I probably...
And say a few words as well
in your official capacity and be acknowledged. And, you know, and that means a lot to different groups when they invite you to come, not just the check you write. But also, too, I mean, I don't know if how this applies to council members, but I have the capacity to accept about 30% of the invitations that I get.
Wow.
Because there aren't enough hours in the day in a week to do all these things. And often I dispatch the deputy mayor to go in my place when I can't be there. That's okay. And so, yeah, so again, I think the job is changing because Tacoma is different. But I guarantee you that every person who holds this job will approach it differently, just like my 8 colleagues, depending on what their work situation is and how much time they have and what their interests are, will put in different amounts of time. So, it's a hard assignment because there's really no formula that determines exactly how much time someone puts into something.
What do you think an average week is for you?
This week,
70 hours.
Yeah, this week it'll be about 60 hours.
And that's more than Monday through Friday.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It always involves the weekend.
Yeah, it always involves the weekend. Well, I mean, you know, usually it's Monday through Friday plus an event or two on Saturday. I've tried to take Sundays off from doing public events, but Sunday is a lot of work at home, sending emails in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And looking, you know, doing research, getting caught up in stuff. And so, I mean, you know, it can easily be a seven day a week job. And I even have a policy analyst who now works for me. And I have a staff administrative person who supports me and some other folks. So even with 1.5 plus my time, it's still pretty demanding. But again, it's a cycle of demanding issues that we have in front of us right now.
Mayor Strickland, could you describe a bit your relationship with the city manager?
Absolutely.
Is it warm or something? But in terms of the kind of how, what is your role in relationship to providing him guidance or her guidance,
right.
Depending on who.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question because it's the conversation about leadership and vision and direction and policy making and then actual implementation of what you want. And so of all the elected officials, I spend more time with the city manager because I'm physically here in the office just about every day if I'm not out in a meeting. And my relation with the city manager is just to keep track of some very specific big issues that we're trying to advance, get progress on them, but also too, and I don't know that this is true for every mayor, but you know, part of my job is helping manage the relationships among my council to try and gain consensus on things, move things forward, maybe advise that we hold back on something. So a lot of it is kind of managing the process of how we move policy forward with my colleagues as much as just my working with the city manager. And then I have meetings with department heads. I mean, when I recently talked about the homelessness issue, you know, I called an emergency meeting 1.5 weeks ago and said, it's gotten to a point now where we have to do something because a problem is so visible.
Yeah.
The city manager goes forward now, and she's gotten a cross-functional team together, and we're coming up with a plan. So it was more like, here's the direction I want to go. Let's do this. Let's get the budget for it, and then that person will implement it. But, I mean, it just varies. And I cut ribbons. I make speeches. I represent us on regional boards and commissions. So Sound Transit, for example, is engaged in litigation with Mercer Island right now, the city of Mercer Island. So I'm part of the negotiating team to try and resolve that. And it's not because I have any necessarily interest in Mercer Island, but as a person representing Pierce County, I want to make sure that any solution is equitable and doesn't put us in a position where we get less of something, or is it a policy that would be fair and would we do it for ourselves? Mm-hmm. And so these are 3-hour meetings and they're in Redmond.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
6-hour meeting.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, basically your whole day's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, my predecessor was not on the board of Sound Transit by choice. So again, it just kind of depends on what you're interested in, what you want to advance, and how much time you put in.
I think one thing that surprised me, Mayor, mm-hmm. Was the kind of non-response when Terry came to the council and said, here's the report, here's our recommendation, effective 2018,
right.
$38,000 for council, mm-hmm. $76,000 for the mayor. And people said, okay. It seems a little odd, given what we learned about the demands,
mm-hmm.
that there was such a passivity in reaction to it. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it just seemed odd to me that there was no reaction.
Oh, there was a reaction. It just wasn't public.
Okay. What was
and
the
so I think
reaction?
So. I think that, I mean, think about this. We're in a climate right now, and this is true. Whenever the public believes that elected officials are getting something or benefiting from something or getting more of something, it's just not going to fly. It's wildly unpopular. So to have a presentation saying we're giving you less money, I mean, do you think someone's going to stand up and say, oh, that's not right, I do so much more work? That's just bad form. And there were conversations that were had, trust me on this. But I think standing up publicly and saying I deserve more money, I mean, I don't think there's an elected official alive who would stand up and say I should be paid more.
Gotcha.
So I think it's just, yeah, I just think it's the appearance of how that looks.
It would not
do you feel like their jobs are full-time jobs, Mayor?
You know what? It varies. I mean, there are some council members who rely solely on this salary for their livelihood, and there are some council members who have day jobs and do this part-time. And so, it is so incredibly difficult to pin down exactly how much time someone spends. There's some people who spend, I'd say, at least a minimum between 25 and 30 hours. But some folks spend, not as much time as I do. But in some cases, depending on what the topic is, they can. Yeah. And I know that the purpose of this form of government, when it started, was to have what they call citizen policymakers. And so there was a desire to what they said, we don't want career politicians whose livelihood is solely based on this. It's kind of like the state legislature, same thing. But what that does inadvertently is that it makes it unaffordable for some people to want to do this work. And so sometimes if you look at some governing bodies, not this one for sure, because our collective age went down 107 years when we got elected together. But sometimes when you do things with salaries or benefits, it serves as a disincentive for people to want to put in that much time and effort, and you end up not getting a government that's representative of the people that you serve. I probably have not given you anything insightful to help you move forward.
Exactly.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, like I said, after the next election cycle, who knows what issues will be before the city council and how much time we'll have to spend. But we've just had this onslaught of issue after issue after issue in the last few years. And so it's been a very busy time.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah.
You had mentioned 3 different time periods. What to you is the most significant change in those time periods?
I would say that the most significant changes, and I'll just kind of talk about the general economy. So, we went through the recession, and because we're not a tax-rich city, even though we have a really steady 4-legged stool for revenues, it hit us really hard. And so having to get rid of a city manager, hire a new one, and you never know who they are until they get here and start doing the job, and having to fight our way back to fiscal sustainability. And then from there, just, to the credit of this council, and it's never just one person, we said we wanted to tackle some of the hardest issues. And so we put out measures to raise taxes to pay for streets because that had not been done for 40 years. A lot of us worked hard on getting more transit. We addressed minimum wage, paid sick leave. I mean, so it's just a series of these really big issues that are very time consuming because you have to do a lot of studying, you have to go out to the community and get support. And so, you know, and also too, a lot of the work that we've done into doing all of our planning for our different neighborhoods to try and get private investment. I spent time traveling to China and going to Asia trying to bring private investment here. And so I just think that, you know, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, you can put a lot of work into it. And but I also think, too, that, you know, I think historically there may have been too much over-reliance on staff. And I just think the expectation from the public now is that the council is more active and more accountable than they have been in the past. And I remember going to, there was a budget situation. This is like back when I was first elected mayor. And someone said to me, well, just let the finance department explain it because they're the ones who are accountable. I'm like, that may have been history, but it doesn't matter. They expect us to know what we're doing now. And so even the expectations of government have changed. They're a lot different. And to be honest with you, you know what's really changed the game? Social media. Social media has changed the way that you have to govern. Because people send you an email and they will say to you the next day, you didn't respond to my email. They expect immediacy, which means more attention and more focus has to happen. But it still varies by council member. And every district is different, too.
Yeah. So it sounds like the demands and the criticism both have gone up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to sort through where you're going to spend your time and where you're going to focus your efforts. I mean, Michael Nutter, the former mayor of Philadelphia, said to me, you're not going to do everything well. So pick a couple of things that you want to accomplish that will have the biggest impact and focus on those things. So everyone kind of picks their thing.
I know a past professor of mine, Dr. Gilda Shepherd at the Evergreen State College up the road, speaks very highly of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I think the other thing about this job as mayor, too, and again, it depends on the person, is that you know, all the things that I just described to you, which are important, but you're also the ambassador for the city.
Absolutely.
And I tell folks that every chance I get to speak in Seattle, or if I'm invited to a national event to promote Tacoma or to talk about it, it's like, that's good for us. You know, the relationship that we had with the Obama administration, the amount of federal funding that we were able to get to Tacoma, a lot of it had to do with relationships that we were able to form in Washington, D.C., not just with our congressional delegation, but with people in the different agencies. And so there's a lot of work that goes on to make that happen. So you are an ambassador.
But you're also the CEO of a large corporation.
Well, you're the chair of the board.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I have to say, so
well, in the role you've taken, you're more of a CEO. You're more hands-on.
Yeah, I'm definitely more hands-on. That's true.
You know, which is, I'm not criticizing. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think you've done a beautiful job. I'm proud to say to call this home.
No, thank you. That's very nice.
So I have to say, so I'm looking at Vancouver.
Okay, Vancouver, Washington.
172,816. We have what 207,000.
Right.
And the mayor in Vancouver gets 27,600. So that's the kind of trying to make sense out of these comparisons is, you know, can drive you crazy. But obviously there's, you know, there's the council manager, form of government. The mayor, I'm sure, has a lot of demands.
Yep.
You know, 15% fewer population, but you know, just one third of the or less of the salary. I'm not saying Vancouver's doing it right, but it's hard to say how do you decide on the value of the mayor's role when you see, you know, at one level nearly $100,000 for Tacoma and here barely not even $30,000 in Vancouver.
You know, actually,
maybe we need to look at it differently. Maybe we need to look at, I mean, those comparables are worth some weight, but, you know, maybe we need to look at more. This is somebody who has got, I don't know, 1,200 employees, 1,500 employees, however many employees in the city of Tacoma. What is a person that's running that kind of entity? I mean, my wife runs a corporation that's got 400 employees. And she makes significantly more than the mayor does.
Absolutely. And I still come back to the salaries of the Pierce County Council. This is not I'm not trying to throw shade on them or to tell them they should be paid less, but I look at what they make and how much time they put in compared to what this council does, and it's pretty remarkable.
I think I've never heard them who should be paid less.
but I think also...
But they have a salary commission too, if I recall.
Do they? Yes, Pierce County, indeed. They sure do. They sure do. But I think another thing, too, is, and this is nothing disparaging against Vancouver, Washington, but, you know, we're part of the big metro. Mm-hmm. And so
there's more higher expectations.
Yeah, we are.
We're a port city.
Exactly, we're a port city. No, and look at Bellevue. I mean, you know, the mayor in Bellevue only makes $23,000, but I think that mayor is not directly elected. I think he or she is selected among the council members. So you may want to explore that, because I think a lot of them are just selected among themselves as opposed to having to run for office, which has a different expectation.
So, something else. I'm a relatively new resident.
Okay. Tacoma. Where'd you move here from?
Seattle.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, I've been here 3 years. So.
Okay.
But it's, I feel like I've just discovered Tacoma.
I know, huh?
All this time. I didn't know. But I am curious... what is the relationship between the city of Tacoma and the Tacoma Public Utilities?
Oh, do you have a day?
Okay. So as a new resident, it's very confusing.
Well, here's the deal. So if you work for Tacoma Public Utilities, your paycheck says City of Tacoma. But it's a bifurcated system for good reason, because the utility is a revenue generator because they sell power, water, they have a rail system, and then they have Click Network, which is part of Tacoma Power. And so they deliberately kept it bifurcated so that why? So general government wouldn't raid utility funds to pay for basic services. Okay. So it's kept that way for a very, very specific reason. There are some challenges with that. I'm not even going to go into them because I could spend the rest of the evening talking about that.
Yeah. So what is your relationship to the utilities?
So my relationship to the utility has changed because during this whole charter review process, we put something on the ballot that said that the reconfirmation of the utility director and the confirmation of a new one has to go through city council now. And the voters said yes to that. And so it's kind of been a struggle to try and work more closely together because they kind of view themselves as something completely separate from city government. So we've tried really hard to make that happen. And there have been some initiatives that have been passed that says we merge HR, we merge legal, we do things together. But there's still kind of this sentiment that the city of Tacoma is kind of different than TPU because they're so sophisticated and we don't know the same.
Of course.
Yeah, and course. So there's definitely an ongoing tension there. But I think the passage of Proposition 6 has kind of strengthened that relationship between general government and TPU. But TPU has a board that is appointed by the council. So they have their own government board. But I think that we need to do a better job of working together. And that's been an ongoing struggle. That is nothing new.
I also just wanted to quickly point out, while I was doing the research, mm-hmm. a couple of these cities actually have not touched the salary of mayor or council member for years.
Interesting.
There was one that hasn't touched or changed anything since 2000.
So there's nothing built in to consider a raise or anything.
Some of them have no commissions, or a commission.
Right.
But I found that kind of interesting, as well as the cost of living rises, mm-hmm. that some of these cities still continue to keep that same salary for their mayor and council members.
You know, and I will tell you something, and I know that every person does it differently, but like I'm not going to name any names, but there are a couple cities on here that because of what they pay the mayor and council, they're not getting a good level of leadership for some of the challenges they're facing. Hmm. I mean, I'm just eyeballing this list. I'm like, you know... And there's some, there's some big issues happening in a lot of these communities, and they're not getting the type of visibility or leadership on things that they should.
It's not worth it. What was that, Randy?
I personally feel if we don't pay the mayor and the council appropriately, we actually limit the field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we put them in a place where, as mayor said earlier, that she's having to go to a Rotary event and also contribute while she's there. That we really limit the field to people that, I don't feel it's right to limit the field. I don't want to say that there's any group that needs to be excluded or included, but we want a wide open field.
Right, and also too, I mean, I remember when I was elected mayor, I actually had an offer for a full-time job, and someone said, well, you can do the mayor thing, your ceremonial stuff, go to the meetings, and you can pick work for us. And I said, being mayor of Tacoma requires your full-time attention. That is just a fact. You have to give this job your undivided attention. And, you know, I mean, as a council member, there are council members who have full-time jobs and have, but they still spend a lot of time trying to get caught up on the issues. And there's so many issues, and they require so much deep study and analysis that I just want to make sure that we're able to pay people for their time and effort.
I think we need to revisit the cuts we've made personally. I don't think it's a huge part of the city's budget, and I really think that we need to consider how many hours these people are putting in. Their contribution is higher than what we've agreed to pay them, or that was a decision that was made prior to my.
And I think, no, you know, and I'll tell you why I agree with that. I think that the expectations of the public have changed for the policymakers in this city. And if you compare the body of work to this council that I've served with compared to the one that my predecessor sat with, I guarantee you we put in far more time and the expectations are far higher. And I think people do that willingly because they want to get involved and they want to roll up their sleeves.
Well, we're paying the mayor slightly more than the probationary firefighters make.
Well, let's just say the mayor doesn't have as good a union as the firefighters.
I don't have local 31 representing me.
Yeah. We should all be so lucky, Randy.
You know, and also, you know,
I'm unfortunate. I'm not arguing that point.
So. Yeah. No, but what was interesting for me too is that when I first ran for city council, I remember that I was making a calculus as a single woman at the time about whether I could afford to be an elected official.
Yeah.
Now, being married to a high school principal, different conversation.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you just kind of think about who you inadvertently leave out of some of these decisions, you know, the ability to run for office if you look at some of these salaries. And I think having the benefits there is really helpful because I think that's a really, you know, that's a really nice benefit to have even if you're technically a part. I've always said it's a full-time job with a part-time salary is what I describe what the council does.
I have a comment.
Yeah, Gary.
I know the sensitivity and the awkwardness, like you mentioned, of any council person or the mayor advocating about salary. Mm-hmm. And I think that the role of this body is really important because it filters the people that are the naysayers and things like that. And for you to have a general understanding about the hours and everything that's put into it. And I think it's important that this body is the filter and the ones that can bring it down to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. I think a second look would be appropriate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've not heard anyone who's running for office during this municipal election year say, oh, you know, well, I don't know about that salary. So we're lucky in Tacoma that people do want to serve and they're excited about it. But at the same time, if you think about long term, you know, I think when you you know, when you compensate people fairly, you're going to get more work out of it. Because I'm looking at some of these cities near us and these salaries, and it's pretty surprising. But in some cases, you're kind of getting the leadership that you're paying for.
I think a big piece.
No.
Sorry.
No, I agree. A big piece of this is passion for service, but. There is an economic piece that needs to keep people afloat and to allow them to do what they do. Yeah. So.
Well, for me, it's no question, it's a balancing act, and I have no problem revisiting the numbers. People serve on nonprofit boards and do so for free put in a lot of time also. So
and they write big checks.
And they write big checks. So having said that, I mean, I want to recognize that there is, I don't know if you get what you pay for, but we have to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think that's the overriding thing. And I think your point, Mayor, that we need to think long term is, and at the same time, you know, I would disagree with Randy, you are not the CEO.
Right.
Until you take, you know, but nor you know, obviously we're sticking with the council manager form, and we have to recognize the I think you've sorted out the, you know, the mayor can be shine a light on really what we need to talk about.
Yeah, set the agenda.
That's huge.
Set the
agenda.
Yeah.
That's huge. But it's not the same as managing the entire workforce.
Yeah, and for example, if we had the strong mayor form of government, the first thing the mayor would do would be to hire a chief administrator who does what? Acts as the same as the city manager. So whatever you call it, the structure isn't that greatly different because there are people who have become mayors who have not had a minute of administrative experience.
Right.
So you typically will hire, you know, an administrator, a key administrator, chief of staff, whatever you want to call it. Anything else I can answer for you? I'm trying to think of, God, let me see if I took any notes. No, and I'm not here to advocate that we should have some outrageous salaries, but I think, you know, and, you know, again, if you present something to a group of elected officials in public and you're saying we're taking something away from you, they're not going to stand up and say, what are you doing? And hear all the reasons that's wrong. And plus, you took the time to interview people, and I think you asked people to submit a survey.
Came afterwards.
Okay. Got it.
We made it because we had a deadline. We had to do something if we were going to be able to affect the folks who were just coming in, as I recall.
And
but we purposely didn't make it effective until 2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't want the people coming in. I think there were two positions that were being run from at that point. We didn't want to have just different salaries for different council members.
Yeah.
And also because of the short time frame, we figured we're going to make the decision and then we're going to start to backfill the learning that we needed to make a better decision.
Yeah. And also, too, I mean, you know, I admit that there's an automatic inflator in here that makes the salaries go up. And so maybe you come up with some policy that says that, you know, an automatic 1% or whatever CPI is, the lesser of. But I mean, I think there's a way to do that so that people are able to get their raises according to CPI, but something that's more symbolic, because, you know, I think it's a legitimate concern that there's an automatic raise that kicks in every year, especially when the economy is cyclical. So I think that's fair.
I also think what's really telling here is the mayor won't be around for the 2018, right?
I will not.
So this is not self-serving. It's really good information that we're getting from you, and it's for the future.
It is, and I want really good, qualified people to want to serve in elected office. That's incredibly important.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to ever say, I can only afford to be here because my husband is a high school principal.
I'm serious. That's true. I mean, I had to think very carefully about whether or not I was going to run for office.
I'm not questioning you at all.
Yeah.
I want people to be able to say, I'm going to be the president or the mayor of Tacoma because that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it affords me a lifestyle that I can live in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, and, you know, one thing that I think it's interesting is that, you know, we have councilmanic districts, and every district has a different population size and different issues, but we all vote on everything together, because I think that there was a conversation about, well, maybe we have district people make one thing and at-large people make another thing, but we all have an equal voice in every policy decision that comes before us, so even that wasn't a way to try and, you know, to slice and dice it. But I will say this, though. I mean, and I think this is true, and I think it's true for every person, is that, you know, when I think about the amount of work that I do and the money I make, it's like, you know, I want people to feel confident that they're getting their money's worth from me, because I know that this is I don't think it's an inflated salary. I think I've earned every penny that I'm paid, but I'm also very conscientious that people know how much I make, and I want to make sure that people see me out there, and I'm doing things, and I'm effective, and I'm bringing resources here. And so I think, you know, in many ways, what you might want to do is just take a look at, you know, what has changed over the last 8 years with this particular elected body, what resources have happened, what has passed, what policies are in place that weren't in place 8 years ago, because that's really how you mark effectiveness.
I wonder if it would be worthwhile to have a couple of council members come in and have the same conversation with them that we just had with the mayor.
I think you should, and I think you should talk to some folks. No, I think that's a good idea, and I think you should talk to some folks who have day jobs and some people who don't.
We actually, what's his name came in? He's retired last year. Bo, right?
Yeah, and he runs an architecture firm.
Right, yeah. So, no, it was very interesting talking with him.
Yeah. And then maybe talk to someone who, you know, who doesn't have a job outside of this and see what their perspective is.
But on our survey, nobody didn't have a job. It was either part-time or full-time.
All right.
What would be even more beautiful is candidates.
That
would be a nice thing.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've not heard anyone say, I'm not going to do that because the pay is too low. But, and I'm not advocating for this, but if you took the mayor's salary and raised it, you would get more people interested in this job for sure. But I'm not advocating for that. But it's just, yeah, you know, it's. I think Seattle now has 7 people running for mayor. I know. It's not salary driven. I know.
Yeah.
It's, you can't make his salary and live in Seattle.
No, I know. Huh?
Anymore. That's true. It's so crazy.
I think that's what I really appreciate about the way Tacoma's set up is that you don't have what I call the political class who can only afford to do the job, and that you have geographic dispersion, even among the at-large seats, which I think is really interesting, because historically, I think most of the at-large seats were all north-end addresses, and you have geographic dispersion with that. And so I think that, you know, this works the way it's intended.
I also do have another question, yes. Mayor. So aside from the benefits or the good things about being mayor and council mm-hmm. member, what about some of the drawbacks?
I think the drawbacks are, you know, as far as, well, this is kind of a benefit and a drawback, because you can kind of tailor this job to put in as much time as you want or as little time, but as little time isn't that little anymore, because the demands are so great between the standing committees, the regional committees, the events that you're asked to attend. I mean, your plate's pretty full. But, you know, I mean, the drawback to this job is not related to the salary. It's just the demands and the expectations that come with it. And the political climate is just a lot different than it was in 2010 when I got elected.
I remember David Bowe mentioning that you're never not working. You know, you stand in line at Safeway and people come up to you and start talking to you about
that's true.
That was, yeah,
go have dinner at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? That's what you sign up for. I mean, it's part of public life in a city the size of Tacoma.
The other thing I remember David saying that really stuck with me is overnight his ethics were in question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because of the job he had.
Because he moment he became an elected official, I think he was appointed initially.
Yes, he was appointed, then he ran, and then he...
Yeah, and it's like, but overnight, suddenly he became somehow... His integrity was suddenly in doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's, but again, it's the climate we're in and how people view elected office. I always jokingly tell people that when I travel internationally and I'm an elected official, they hold that position in such high regard.
Yeah.
You really do.
You also did mention the strain on the relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
The personal relationship. Yeah. You know what, that may be, I mean, so much of your ability to do this job well and how much time you can put in, this is a really good point, is how supportive your partner is if you're in a situation. That is absolutely true. And I have seen, that is a really, really accurate observation. Even campaigning. Because, you know, if you're in this and you have a family situation or a partner, you know, ideally they have to be supportive of this because this is hard work. And the hardest thing, I think, for some people is that, you know, my husband has to resist defending me when he hears people saying things that are not very kind. But I tell people, you can be elected official in many cities, but there's so much good stuff happening in Tacoma. And I just think this is a really fun job right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
It is. That's fun.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah.
That was very helpful.
Very
you,
helpful.
Mayor.
Okay.
We appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your hard work. I know this is not an easy assignment, and I'm glad you at least have more time to think about it this time.
Great.
Thank you.
Are you going to another meeting or going home?
No, actually, I'm going to go home.
Okay.
Because I have a council meeting with public comment tomorrow, which will probably go until 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you all. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Is this your purse?
Yes, I was thinking
I still have it. I'm seeing this in the corner of my eye.
I was going to say, speaking of writing checks, I mean, that's...
I don't want to forget it all.
You'll be disappointed if you look at my purse. Okay, have a good one.
Good night.
Okay.
She's
shed some interesting light on all those things.
We're going to move right on along. Additional information provided by staff. The 2017 updated salary, which you guys have probably already seen while we were discussing with Mayor. Is there anything else you guys would like to add or discuss a little further from just this conversation with our mayor?
Well, it's interesting to me because I think the revisiting the numbers is certainly something that's appropriate for us to do. I have to say I still don't have a good basis for judging whether it's what the right number is. Having said that, I guess I have some sense we overshot the mark. I notice, I was surprised to see Kirkland.
Don't look at the 16 salaries. Actually, there is a big jump if you look at the
2017
for a lot
that's
of these
cities.
That's
the one that,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like some of them like doubled. So, I don't know if
that's
it's people
it,
coming
yeah.
back and revisiting after the recession or what was going on. Or maybe you know. But, I mean, we're still high, but the in comparison, but it's not.
But if you look at the population, Tacoma's got, I guess, a bigger population than, I'm looking to say Olympia. Olympia's only a quarter the population of Tacoma. And yet, their salary went from, in 2016, from 19,968 to 43, so they're also looking at.
Yeah.
You know.
I would just, I guess every city would probably have a claim for some uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect Olympia, being the capital city, it has a different set of kind of a distinctive issues it faces, but we do too. You know, obviously we have our own, like you said, we have a port and a prominence that is just different.
One of the things that always bothers me is, the fire chief works for her and he's making more than twice what she makes.
Yes. Well, what's he
yeah, but that's just stuff that happens. I mean, like the head of TPU
yeah.
makes
yeah.
much more, and there's a good reason for it.
Yeah.
I know. I personally was opposed to the change they made where they had the city council review and approve the hiring of the utilities head. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's completely separate business.
Those are traditionally very competitive jobs.
Yeah, I know, and it's very tough. I mean, you really need somebody who's good in that position, and it shouldn't be influenced by politics, which, unfortunately, I think there's a possibility of that happening now. But it's what the voters chose, and so.
So how do you want to approach revisiting the numbers? I mean, I almost would prefer thinking about it and coming back.
I'm not really going to take it.
I
think, we look at, I have to go back and look at how much we changed them, but we purposely set them on the lower end because we knew we could come back and revisit
cushion.
And we had time.
Yeah, right. Cushion now.
So.
And it doesn't look like any of the other cities that have made increases also. I'm serious. I only see one. Spanish. No, everybody seems to, except for Lakewood, has an increase of some sort.
There is
I think
one.
We have to look at that data there, but we also have to look at the time commitment that somebody's making.
Yeah.
And, if it's regularly going over 40 hours a week, and she's working for $40 an hour, $40 an hour, whatever. I mean,
See, for somebody like her, it makes total sense. The salary makes absolute sense. For one or more of her predecessors, they would have been grotesquely overpaid. So, and that's kind of the thing you see with this council members, too. Some of them are much more proactive and active than others.
Right.
But, you know, their constituency is elected, so.
I don't know how to equitably.
Right. If you're good, we get paid.
Which of these cities here that has the council manager form doesn't have an elected mayor? Do we know? Out of curiosity.
I don't know if Auburn does.
I just didn't know.
I live in Lake Taps area. I don't think. Cool. Nancy Backus, I think it's a rotated council
type. Yeah, a lot of this. She's read a lot
but
of this.
But the salary in Auburn is like
high.
It's crazy.
Federal Ways was elected.
I think the mayor mentioned one thing too on the level of issues, like Sound Transit, for instance. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Having somebody
keep an eye on the dial on that and trying to figure that out and trying to deal with the battles there, that's a full time job in itself.
Yeah. I think that should be part of the mayor's job.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
If they're doing their job appropriately, you bet.
It is interesting looking at these salaries for the directly elected mayors. Everett, 181. Federal Way, 120.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. And that's the same. Those haven't, if I'm wrong. In 2017, they're going to be a little bit more elevated in some of those areas. Bellingham's 145, 181. Federway has not increased. Everybody else, it looks like they've slightly increased, except for Federway and Spokane.
I haven't worked at Redmond. I'm just out of curiosity what Redmond is paid now. But anyway, I can figure that out.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, it's definitely food for thought, and I think when we get to the next meeting's
July.
So July or August?
August.
When we're going to need to be making a decision.
We have to decide heading in August.
In August, if, you know, maybe we end up having a couple meetings like we did last time, but
yeah.
Kind of think about what the number should be.
Our last meeting is the 28th. The 21st got moved.
Mm-hmm.
What was 21st that?
21st is the eclipse.
Oh, that's right. I believe he's the one who brought that up. We had to go to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The solstice.
The solstice. There we go.
Oh, that's right. That's the big deal. Well, I'm
going to
be...
Are you going to Medford for that, was it?
No. It's outside of Portland.
Oh, okay.
They also just... I know pretty much everybody's already on board with this, but just a reminder that our 2017 decision is due September 1st.
Right. Is it that, unfortunately, the 28th, I'm going to be out of town. I'll try to do what Randy's setting such a good example for us. I'll see if I can join us.
Well,
but is it possible to move the August meeting up?
Say the 14th?
That would be great. Is that?
Yeah, then you give more time.
Yeah, so the 21st is our scheduled meeting. I haven't done a special meeting notice yet for the 28th, so we're still able to
recommend, because it's just given the September 3rd deadline, and clearly we want to rethink the numbers. Even if we settle on that number, mm-hmm. we still need to have some deliberation on it. So if we could do the 14th, that would be fabulous.
Spectacular.
14th, okay. Randy, are you okay with 14th on August?
I'm not actually. I'm not positive. My kids gave me a backpacking trip for Christmas and my birthday, which are both together. And we were supposed to be going from like the 10th through the 15th of August, which would be in Wyoming. And I would be way out of
California. You say that? That's
really?
So what about earlier August. So like the beginning week of August.
Earlier would be fine.
The 7th?
7th? How about August 7th?
That's fine. That works.
Sherry?
Sure. I'm going to say that works.
Diane?
I think that works. I usually don't go anywhere in the summer. I'm leaving for Africa in 10 days, so don't
worry. Oh, that's right.
Fine. That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Is that
August
7th.
Yeah,
3 weeks.
I'll delay California for this.
You'll be in California?
I'll delay California for this.
Oh, my.
You better. I'm just kidding. Randy, August 7th, would that work for you?
Yes, it will.
Perfect.
Okay, good. Let's do that. That would be excellent. Okay. That also gives us a little time if we need to
reconvene. Right, if you need to reconvene, yeah.
Okay.
So we're good?
Yeah.
Good. Moving on. One last thing, guys, are the minutes.
I move to approve them.
Second?
Second.
Okay, right, yeah.
Third.
You know, no. Or any discussion?
You are ready. Chair.
All in favor?
Aye. You're supposed to say all in favor, Randy.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes have been approved.
All right. Good deal. Adjourned.
Pardon? Adjourned. Meeting is adjourned. 7:07.